Once she started doing speech therapy, the mom was like, I didn't realize I had to interact with her so much. And that's a big thing for a parent to admit, right? Because we, as parents, we think that we do a great job taking care of our kids. But to realize and acknowledge that our parenting strategies could have been better, I think that's really important. But it's also, I'm not trying to criticize anybody's parenting style or strategy because a parent doesn't know, and a person doesn't know what they don't know. And a parent doesn't know how to interact with kids unless they were taught that.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by the GoingNorthPodcast.com shop. Head over to that wonderful website to pick up some merchandise. We got shirts, hoodies, mugs, t-shirts, flags, notebooks, journals, just about almost everything under the sun, even stickers and buttons indeed for your lanyards and for your decorations as well. And we got multiple designs, advanced others to advance yourself. We got the GoingNorthPodcast.com logo as well. As outread your competition to outlead your competition. We even got bags too, so check out the wonderful podcast merch shop and be on the lookout for sales. They got wonderful 35% off sales spread out throughout every single month, so that way you can save even more money, so you can get more bang for your buck, so you can bang out your goals through the inspiration you're going to get today on this podcast. Check it out like a library book, my friends. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, courtesy of one of the best websites going strong today, known as Podmatch.com, the wonderful site where podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts, and they're cool, the freaking in. And today's guest is cooler than two cucumbers indeed, because my goodness, you're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat two times over, because today's wonderful guest, y'all, a wonderful actor and producer turned speech pathologist. Just with wonderful years of experience, and she's also a magical mom as well. So let's give it up for Miss J to the T herself, the one, the only Janine Tang. How you doing today, Janine?
I'm doing great today, Dom. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous.
That's good to hear. Good to hear.
Heck, indeed, it's right indeed. You're a rare breed on this podcast. Rare occasion where we have a actor turned speech pathologist on the show.
Yeah, I'm actually a speech pathologist turned actor and stayed speech pathologist because acting in Los Angeles is very difficult. There are so many actors here. But I was really glad that I got my degree in speech therapy before I dived into acting because you can make way more money doing speech therapy part time than you can trying to do acting and waitressing on the side.
I knew I missed a cavity. I flipped the order.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. It's fine. No problem at all. It's all, I think I was already doing like performance speeches in high school and college. So maybe in a way I was kind of doing acting, then speech therapy, and then back to acting and always speech therapy.
Wait, that's what I'm talking about indeed. So was that a wonderful path to you always saw yourself doing as a mini Janine speech pathology? Therapy.
When growing up, I really didn't know exactly what I wanted to be. But I remember in the third grade, when I was 8 years old, my grandfather was sick and he had lung cancer. He ended up passing away. And at the time, I felt really helpless, as far as like a little child who can't help your grandfather that you love dearly. And, I think at that point, it definitely sparked something in me to pursue something in life that could help people, and wanted to help people like my grandfather. And, I thought I wanted to be a teacher. And then in high school, I started playing sports and I was like, oh, maybe a physical therapist. And at the time, I knew physical therapists need to have like a master's degree at the time. Now they need a doctorate degree. But I decided to get my undergraduate degree in something else I love, which is English literature and creative writing. And when it was time to go to grad school, everybody was doing physical therapy, and I was a little bit frustrated as far as like, oh, is everybody going to do it? Am I going to get into school? I was a little bit stressed. And I had done performance speeches in high school and college, and someone told me, have you thought about speech therapy? Because it seems really a combination of everything that I love, right? So I like performing, I like language communication and helping people. But I hadn't really heard about speech therapy at the time. But come to find out, my friend from elementary school, her mom was a speech therapist. I just didn't know what she did for her job. But when I graduated from the University of Hawaii at Manoa, I actually had my friend's mom as a colleague. So it was kind of cool, kind of going full circle in my friends and my mom, her mom, being able to work with her as well. And I love doing speech therapy. I've been doing it for 23 years now. Between Hawaii and Los Angeles, I've worked 8 years in the school districts, and I've been doing early intervention a lot since 2010. And I have a son who has special needs, and he's going to be 12. He's going to be 12 next month, and I'm very glad that I was doing early intervention, because when he had his tragic fall from our bed at 13 months old, that gave him a very big brain bleed. He had to have an emergency craniotomy, and he had a stroke. So at that time, our life was turned upside down, and he needed all the help he could get. And being a speech therapist working in early intervention, I was able to access all the resources that we needed at the time, and he got the services he needed right away. So in a way, maybe it was fate that I became a speech therapist, because in turn, I was able to help my own child, and I think that's the most important thing a parent can be able to do.
Say that again, indeed, and glad he survived, because, like, dude, that's a lot to go through in such a short amount of time. Like, my God.
Yeah, he's amazing. He was told, the doctor said he might never walk or talk, right? And when he was hurt initially, and because if he didn't have that emergency craniotomy, he could have died. He would have died. So thankfully the doctors and surgeons were able to save him, and he's just the most wonderful child. He had a basketball game this morning, and even though he has a disability, he made two baskets today. It was amazing. And he still struggles with a lot of things, but he's really the passion behind what I do every day, and to become a better person every day, right? Because you want to set a good example. And if he is able to become better every day, then I better be as good as he is, or even better, because he looks up to myself and his dad, and for us to raise a child that has had so many obstacles in his path already, we need to be as strong as we can be in order to set that great example.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about. These I'm talking about. It's a powerful testimony. One of those watch me moments. It's like, yep, your kiddo probably won't ever walk again. Next thing you know, play a basketball, baby. Two buckets. You'll love to see it. That's what I'm talking about. These I'm talking about. Indeed. So, my goodness, I guess the early setbacks in the way for your little one all the way to now with growing up and everything, and sounds like even more success a certain form in the future. Like, how's it been for you from a self-care aspect? Because parenting is one thing, but even though you got this built-in superpower that you kind of subconsciously trained in the earlier years, like, how does it feel for you? Because it's probably a lot of extra work.
It is a lot of extra work. And I remember early on being a speech therapist, I loved working with these kids that had special needs, because I wanted to get them to be able to communicate, be better every day. And I loved working with them. But I remember early on, I was like, I'm glad I don't have a child that has special needs, because I saw how much work it was to be with them at school, I couldn't imagine what it would be like to be a parent of one. And I was so thankful I wasn't. And now, now I am. And the universe only gives you what you can handle, right? So the universe was knew that I could step into that role of being a parent and caregiver of someone that has special needs. He's makes every day a different, everything, every day is different. There's no predictability as far as like what we're going to be doing or, what kind of conversation we're going to have, because his brain is always growing and he comes up with the most, unique comments and questions. And it's great to be able to be a speech therapist, but also his mom, and to shape the way that he sees the world is such a gift.
Ray, that's what I'm talking about. Indeed, I'm talking about indeed. Well, speaking of a gift, you got this fabulous book, Play Dumb and Sabotage. So, my goodness, are you able to get to the point now where you got expert status, you're able to put your wisdom into a book? So, how was that writing process like for you?
So Play Dumb and Sabotage is the title of my book. And, the thought of it is, as caregivers and parents and educators, we over-anticipate and we do too much for our children. A lot of times we were kind of like helicopter parents and helicopter caregivers. And this book is really to teach parents, caregivers, and educators how to mindfully under-anticipate the child's needs and create opportunities to practice language. And when I say mindfully under anticipate, you need to know exactly what the child needs and then also reel that back to let that child be part of that interaction, part of that conversation, whether it be nonverbal or verbal. And, being a speech therapist for over 23 years, I feel that I do have the expertise and that what we are lacking is this little nuance of education and training for parents that wasn't there. So in order to put that into the book, a book, I could write out little worksheets and handouts for parents and give them pointers on how to do things, but to put everything into a book was a big process. Because I had to outline my ideas. I knew what I wanted to put in the book. The hardest part for me was sitting down and be diligent about writing, because you've written books, right? And for me, like the discipline of sitting down and to expand an idea into multiple paragraphs and then a chapter and then flow it into the next chapter and the next chapter and have it all be cohesive and make sense. I think that was something to really wrap your mind around, because although I majored in English and creative writing, my creative writing was poetry, which is very simple and very exact and not long-winded. And so to sit down to write an actual book was daunting, but I had great leadership and mentorship with a company called selfpublishing.com. They partnered me with a writing mentor as well as like a production kind of mentor to kind of guide me along the way and kind of help me with those ideas about, self-sabotage and that imposter syndrome and going through all of that in order to create this product that I'm very proud of and I would love to get into the hands of every parent, caregiver, and educator.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. And you had help on top of that too. Sure, that's what I'm talking about. Man. So selfpublishing.com. Wow. So they paired you up with folks. That's awesome.
Yeah, they were amazing because the traditional publishing, you need to have your manuscript done first and then shop it around. And I had the idea, I just didn't know what to do with it next. And a gentleman named Chandler Bolt, he founded selfpublishing.com, and it was really life-changing for me because I had they had a blueprint for it. They even had people to format the book for you and do the cover design and, help you upload it to Amazon. It's all these like things I had no clue about how to do. And it was really like those steps were really stopping me in my path. You know, I wasn't sure how to move forward. And I'm so glad to have found that company.
Wait, that's what I'm talking about indeed. Now I don't know why that sounds so familiar. Chandler Bolt, he was a guest on our show last year, Yeah, so yeah, good dude.
Yeah, he does amazing work.
That's right indeed, that's right indeed. And I guess one of his metaphorical book babies has appeared now on the show, so the circle of life continues. That's what I'm talking about indeed. And that's cool, too, because they helped you tackle the issue of self-doubt, and because, like, that comes up a lot for writers especially, because, like, it's like, oh, man, imposter syndrome, but really, like, all these other books are out here. I'm sure they got experts. Like, why the heck I need to write freaking books? Like, I quit.
Yeah, because there are so many, you know, there are speech therapists who have written books, or they have Instagram videos and all these things, and I didn't want to regurgitate word for word somebody else's ideas. And it's not, you know, they're all my ideas, but it's, you know, similar concepts. And, you know, in the self-help world too, I'm sure you guys come across a similar idea, you know, that's, you can just give your turn or twist on it, and it is now your point of view, right? So this is my point of view, Play Dumb and Sabotage. It's a very provocative kind of title, right? Because you're like, what do you mean play dumb and sabotage? My mom hated the title. She thought I should call it plain ignorant and something else. She was like, sabotage sounds destructive. I'm like, mom, you're not gonna read my book. It's okay.
Yeah. It's right indeed. It's right indeed. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know if you know that, so, you know, I don't know if you have children, but there are so many children that need speech therapy these days that I feel would have not needed speech therapy if there was better parent training and caregiver training, educator training on how to, you know, promote and introduce language, practice language, use simple strategies, you know, simple things like when you're giving a snack to a kid. You know, don't give the whole bowl of goldfish. Maybe just give one or three or two, whatever, and have the rest of the goldfish in sight but out of reach. So the child needs to indicate they want more. You know, it's all about repetition and practice. And a child doesn't know vocabulary unless they're introduced to it. So if you're getting a child dressed, you know, you might want to say, do you want to wear the red shirt or the yellow shirt? And show them the two colors. And, you know, even if the child can't speak, if they can look towards one of the colors, then you can give them those words like, oh, great, the red shirt. I like the red shirt. We'll put the red shirt on today, and give them this language that they can hear and absorb, because they are little sponges. But if we're only doing for them, like we give them the whole bowl of snack when we think they're hungry, or we change their clothes without talking about what we're doing to them or with them, then they're missing out on a lot of language opportunities and exposure to how words sound and how we are able to communicate using different word combinations and sound combinations and such.
Good point, Dick. You're so right about that. I guess it's probably because of the whole microwave generation EX, I guess, since technology's advanced so far in the way different apps are built to really tap to our behavior, makes us a lot shorter when it comes to the patient side of the game. And it's like, oh, I have this little human here, and it kind of wasn't planned depending on the situation. So it's like, oh, wow, let me just tell them what to do and just cave in and give them a tablet to raise them. It's like, no, there's a lot more steps to that.
Yeah, the tablet babysitter. Yeah, that's definitely something that a lot of kids have these days.
Yeah, it's scary. It's like, hey, it's useful, but it's like, a lot. That's probably the real sabotage if you let it.
Exactly. But there are, you know, there are children that, like my son, who definitely needed speech therapy, right? And other children with autism or Down syndrome or some other kind of disability or or congenital disease that they were born with. But there are so many kids who are physically, they're physically sound. They meet all their milestones as far as like walking and running and jumping around. And cognitively, they seem to understand everything, but they're just late talkers. And this book is really to help all children. But specifically, I would love to decrease the number of kids who are fall into this character category of normal developing and may not need speech therapy if their parents were given better knowledge and education early on. Because when we have kids, we have to go through birth training. But other than that, there's not a whole lot of training on how to be a parent to your child besides feeding them, dressing them, making sure they're warm or cool or whatever it is. And the interaction that a person has with their child is so important. And I had one mom, after her daughter started to do speech therapy, her daughter was basically not speaking at all. And once her daughter started babbling and talking, and now she speaks in full sentences and has little conversations. When she started doing speech therapy, the mom was like, I didn't realize I had to interact with her so much. And that's a big thing for a parent to admit, right? Because we, as parents, we think that we do a great job taking care of our kids. But to realize and acknowledge that our parenting strategies could have been better, I think that's really important. But it's also, I'm not trying to criticize anybody's parenting style or strategy because a parent doesn't know, and a person doesn't know what they don't know. And a parent doesn't know how to interact with kids unless they were taught that, if that makes sense.
All the pennies and quarters, it makes all the sense. That's right indeed. Right indeed. Besides, there's a huge gap between when the now parents were babies. It's like a lot of stuff happened in between. It's like you're gonna forget a whole bunch of stuff. It's like, oh yeah, but then here and now it's like, oh, I need this thing now. I need to get through this thing now.
Yeah, we don't remember what we did when we were children. I don't remember what I did. So it's all about having to learn new skills. If you have a life-changing event, which ha have having a child is, then you need to learn new skills and be equipped to deal with that new life change and be the best person you can in that stage of your life.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. And out of curiosity, so is it better to speak in complete sentences to your little one or the babbling, or is it like a mix of both?
I think it's a mix of both because you do want to speak to them in full sentences, right? But you also want to what we call vocal play. So a baby can't imitate, your words exactly yet at all, right? So you want them to be able to play with their voice and find a way to make different sounds, based on the shape of their mouth. Because our articulators are our jaw, our lips, our teeth, and our tongue. So if we move our articulators in different ways, the air that's pushed out through our mouth is going to be shaped in different ways and will make different sounds. And to understand that is really important, and to have the child, have different facial expressions, and they have these mirroring cells in them that is geared towards copying you. So if you have a good connection, you make eye contact with your child and you're interacting with your child, they will imitate you. They will start to copy you. And then pretty soon you can form those sounds into things like animal noises and then into actual babbling that sounds similar to adult speech. And eventually those will turn into their first words. But when you're speaking to a child, you do want to speak to them in full sentences, short phrases. You can do single words even when you're presenting new vocabulary. You don't want to necessarily do baby talk unless you're doing that vocal play with them. And I like to have parents just slow their speech down just a little bit so that the child can understand and receptively, understand what is being said or hear the different nuances of the words. Because, like learning a foreign language, if I'm listening to any foreign language at full speed, I have no idea what they're saying. But I'm trying to pick up Spanish. I used to know how to speak German well and Japanese. Like those are things I learned before. But if I hear it at full speed now, it's all jumbled. But if they speak it very slowly, then I can break up what those different words are and understand it better, and then hopefully express myself in some sort of way that is, understandable as well.
I knew there was another cow. I forgot to add polyglot. There we go.
I speak nothing fluently though. I used to be able to have conversations in German and conversations in Japanese, and I can speak enough Spanish to get by at the hospital doing my job, but like regular Spanish conversations are not good. Not good.
That's right, indeed. 3 months after the Going North podcast interview, it's like Janine Tang in the local news. She went down to Mexico and she tried to speak Spanish again, and she said she had a bomb in her pants, but when she was asking for directions, and now she's trapped. So, we're the
Would
president's
probably
negotiating now.
I probably would be able to ask for food. Food in the bathroom. Where's the food? Where's the food and where's the bathroom?
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. So, even though it's probably like clear as fog now, is there anything you feel like you learned about yourself during that period with those multiple languages under your belt?
Definitely like a different point of view and empathy and about different languages and how difficult it is to learn a new language, right? So like in America we all speak English, and then we expect all these people who are immigrating to America to speak English as well.
Yeah.
But we oh my gosh.
America.
So America the Great. But I saw like an Instagram post that said, if someone speaks two languages, then someone's speaking like broken English to me, but their first language is something else. It's like they are that much smarter because they are already utilizing English in a communicative way. They are able to communicate. So I think I have greater empathy for people who are immigrants to the US and are, have maybe, a lot of people that live in a come from another country, they already knew two or three languages. And then they come to America and they have to learn English. And then we expect them to be fluent and be able to communicate in English when we ourselves, and like myself, I cannot communicate clearly in another language. I'm not capable of doing that. Where I'm not at the point where I feel like I would be successful in a conversation anywhere else but the US. As long as people are speaking English, it's fine. So if in another country that speaks English, that's great. But I think knowing multiple languages definitely gives me a greater respect and appreciation for people who have emigrated to the US and are able to communicate in English.
Darn straight, because it's so true. Heck, I can even remember a past guest, Adri Kaiser. She came all the way from Venezuela and was just learning English, and someone called her a stupid immigrant because she was still learning the darn language. It's like, dude, what the hell, man? Like at face value, if you're ignorant about it, it's like, hey, that's their problem. But when you think about it deeper, you're so right, because like how much energy it takes to master one language and then to be able to conversationally speak another. And she was actually a lawyer overseas before she came to the US. So it's like all that time studying and all that book knowledge on top of it and being able to put in the mother tongue and translate it back out to English. Like that takes a lot of freaking effort. And you're so right. That takes a good head on someone's shoulders to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. They say English is one of the hardest languages to learn, right? They say that because it has all these things that are have rules, and then we don't have rules about some things, and
Yep.
some things are just said this way because just because, where So these people are learning our language, and we are not able to, I'm not able to at least master someone else's language in a very understandable way at all. But, language is important, whether it's in English or a different language. The way that a child learns language is pretty much the same, right? Because they are receptively understanding, right? They're understanding communication, and then they're learning to express it. So I kind of relate learning one language, English or whatever language it is, to very similar across every language. And if you or I were immersed in another language full time, we would definitely have to learn it, right? We'd have to learn that language, and we'd have to learn how to understand it and express it, because that would be the need, that would be required. It's not like, I think for myself at least, I'm not immersed in a language because I have English to fall back on. It's not like this is that's like the only environment I'm in. But for children, when they're growing up, little babies and toddlers and children, they have to. It's like a survival thing. They have to learn how to communicate in order to survive. And I think that's very universal.
Yeah, almost like a language.
Yeah, it is a language. It is a language.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about indeed. That's what I'm talking about indeed. So, my goodness, so since you're going on a bit of a podcast tour promoting the fabulous work that you're doing, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
I mean, besides, reading my book, and it's available in audiobook as well as an ebook and a paperback. I would love for people to read the book. Questions to ask me. I actually want to hear what I actually have a question for them. It's like, what questions do you have that I can answer? Because there's always, I have what I've written in the book, but I'm sure there are more questions to answer that I haven't written in. Does that make sense? Like, there's the facts in the book and the strategies in the book. But after reading the book, what further questions and support do people need? And I would love for, to be able to speak to a greater audience, whether it be at a conference or, my overarching goal for the next year is to get on a TED Talk kind of thing. So it's more like keeping this conversation open about what they've learned from me and my book and what else they would like to learn.
Good deal indeed. Good deal indeed. Makes freaking sense. Makes freaking sense. Heck, maybe probably picking up a follow up question Prash asked earlier, now to think about it. Shoot. So, like the example of the mom who didn't realize she needed to be more interactive. Any tips for parents to probably be more interactive with their kiddos if they feel like they're not interactive enough?
Yes, definitely. I think finding ways throughout your day to, provide opportunities for the child to react, in situations. So say you're dressing the child, like I said, offer different choices about what they want to wear during snack time, offer the choices about what to eat or what to drink, so that back and forth communication and practice is happening throughout the day. And it turns later on, it'll turn into conversations. And then it can turn into, what should we do next? What is what, this is what we're going to be doing today. What else do you want to do? So it turns into this big conversation. One of the things I love to tell parents, though, is, don't ask a yes, no question unless you are willing to honor that no. And I think everybody, even I fall into this sometimes. But usually I catch myself because I've gotten very good at it, is not asking a yes no question when you're saying, are you ready to clean up? Are you ready to take a bath? Are you ready to do some work? Are you, can you say this word? Because if the child says no, then you need to honor that no, right? So the way we get around that is offering choices. So if you want to, like, say I'm going to tell my son, okay, it's time for bed. Do you want to brush your teeth first or do you want to change into pajamas first? Or I say, oh, we're going to be doing reading and we're going to do a puzzle. Which one do you want to do first? So I give them those choices so they can pick. And it kind of gives that child the opportunity to think that they are in charge in a way, that they've, like, used this choice and they've made the choice rather than the choice is placed on them. And then also for articulation, if I want a child to imitate what I'm saying, I might say, elephant, your turn, you say it. Or I might say, the elephant is big. You try it. Where instead of saying, can you say the elephant is big? There's that different concept of, oh, I've said it. Now it's your turn. If that makes sense. So it's like a lot of direction for the children. And then later on, when the child's more verbal, then you can ask real yes, no questions like, did you like the movie? Or did you like the ice cream? Or what ice cream do you want to eat? And there's like more open-ended questions and yes, no questions that are in conversations rather than a yes, no question like, oh, do you want to take a bath now? And the child's like, no. So there's, it goes from real simple interactions and then later on it'll turn to like full-blown conversations before you know it. And a lot of parents, who have had their child go through speech therapy, they come to me and that's the most gratifying thing is when the parents are lighting up and they say, so and so was asking these great questions last night when we were going to bed and I was reading them a story and they were asking questions about the book or pointing something out. And, to see the parents light up after their child's been having speech therapy for a while is really the kicker because it's gratifying for myself to see a reflection of the work that has been put in and to see how much impact it has on this family.
Word. That's what I'm talking about in days. I'm talking about in days. That's right. Give the kiddo choices. That's right. Day. That's right. Day. Besides, yes or no. Because it's like, nope. That's right. Well, too bad, kiddo. It's time to insert some trauma into you now. Since you're
Yeah, you
wrong
have to
there.
honor the no. Honor that no. Otherwise, they're not going to trust you, right? If you say, do you want to eat this or do you want to eat now? And they say no. He's like, well, you have to eat. We're in a rush. Then they're like, well, I wasn't honored. I wasn't respected in a way, And over time, it's that's just not the way that the interaction between parent and child should be.
I guarantee, certainty. Name of the game, make the interaction as great as possible. Certainty, because it moves fast when they come out and emerge into the world. It's like, all right, cool. They're here. They're 0 to 3 months out of nowhere. They're 3 months away from 18. It's like, okay, all right. What happens to the other 17 years? Where does time disappear to? Oh, man. So, fun question for you. If your fabulous book, Play Dumb and Sabotage, mindfully under-anticipating the child's needs and creating opportunities to practice language, if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh, I would have to say pizza. There are, like a supreme pizza because there are so many nuggets in there that each one is so delicious in itself, but altogether it's complete and whole and something that, so many people would enjoy.
Yeah, that's right indeed. It's supreme. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Name of the game, Play Dumb and Supreme. You love to see it. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Be like, hey, we call this a Diana Ross effect. It's supreme, y'all. That's a supreme rare. But we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is if it'll wake up tomorrow and you're at 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
I would definitely say don't be a people pleaser and do something that you're proud of every day.
Yeah, that's right indeed. Do something you're proud of every day, y'all. Do it. That's right indeed. If it's a can of Mountain Dew, you're good. If it's a pair of Nikes on your feet, you definitely did it. That's right. The game, just do it. Be proud, y'all. That's right indeed. Pull out the peacock feathers if you have to. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. In this case, so you can play peacock.
Yeah.
That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Well, folks need to head over to your magical site and check out all your wonderful wares and cop some copies of your magical books. So for those who need to do just that, what's the best way for folks to do so?
They would go to playdumbandsabotage.com. They can contact me there. The link for my book is there. And if they would like me to do any online trainings or conferences, please let me know. It'd be wonderful to reach out.
There you have it, folks. Going to put a link to Janae's wonderful site in the show notes. That way you can head over to her site, cop the copies of her magical book. That's right indeed. Be sure to cop it now. Maybe even get an autograph now before she gets that Marvel contract out of nowhere after giving her speech at a conference. That's right indeed. So she could be a superhero by night, a speech pathologist by day. That's right. That's right indeed. She'll be Supermom EX. That's right indeed. It'll be like River 99, but extra.
Love it. Love it.
Well, before the X-Men abduct you to get into that contract, any parting words before we close up shop?
Don't be afraid to play. I think don't be afraid to play and be silly and have fun. Have fun with those kids out there. They're looking up to you.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for free. And be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.